you don't really control people, right? You give them an opportunity to thrive. People don't like to be controlled or feel like they're controlled. That's when they definitely get dissatisfied.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of A Little Bit of Everything with me. And I am your host, Angelica. This is the podcast that talks about a little bit of everything. So sit back and enjoy the show. And welcome back to another episode of A Little Bit of Everything with me. Today, my guest is a multi-certified coach and author. Welcome, Bill, to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Angelica. Great to meet you. Glad to be on.
Well, thank you so much. Can you please introduce yourself to my listeners?
Sure. I have had sort of two arcs to my career. First, I did about 10 startups here in the New England area, in the Boston area mostly. Over about 25 years, primarily sort of front office facing sales, marketing, customer service, that kind of stuff. And then about 6 or 7 years ago, I became a business growth coach where I teach a proven growth framework to the leader and his or her team to help them have a more predictable, scalable, healthy and thriving.
Well, thank you for that. And, you know, you have so much experience. You've got a lot to provide, but can you please tell me, explain to my listeners, what is a multi-certified coach?
Sure. So in the coaching world, there's lots of places. There are lots of places to go to learn new things and get certificates and such. So you can do it like I do, where I focus primarily on business growth and team growth. There's a lot of one-to-one executive coaching where you can get certifications from a number of places there as well. And you can just learn different topics. So mine are primarily in the business growth space. And I do have some certification in what are called behavioral assessments. One is called Predictive Index. That's the one I'm certified in. People might be familiar with Myers-Briggs or DISC. Those are more popular, I think. And I also am a bit of a neuroscience geek, so I have a certificate in that as well.
Wow, that is fantastic. You do a lot, that's for sure. And the name says it all there. But thank you for clarifying. Now, with your business experience and the people that you've helped as well, what do you find is the biggest challenge? Why do they come to you?
Mostly they're stuck. And they're either stuck because they're stuck in their growth model. They're sort of stuck in this, they can't get past a certain amount of revenue or profit or whatever it might be, or they're stuck in their lives and they're growing so fast that, you know, the business sort of takes over their life. Those are not the only reasons, but those are generally the two main reasons, you know, that revolve around growth. And then I help them basically fire themselves from the day to day so they can focus on predicting and creating the future of the business, which is more of a thought process than a do process. So I sort of get them out of the doing and more into the thinking side.
Now, there's been a lot of small businesses that have been created over the past 2 years. And I feel like a lot of us have been just on this go, 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 because you know what? I've lost my job and I'm just trying to make ends meet. And this business is going to help me out. What can you tell or give advice to these small business owners who are just haven't stopped since they created this business and feel like they're on the verge of burning out and they got nobody else to help them out?
Yeah. So if you're a sole entrepreneur, then that's one thing, like I am. If you're building a business with employees, that's a different thing as well. And then, as you said, there are larger businesses, et cetera. I think it's generally true in any case, no matter what size your company is in terms of people. One of the most important things to do, besides obviously having some expertise in what you're doing, is to focus your time and energy on something that is sort of aligns your passion and your purpose, but also allows you to differentiate yourself from others. You know, you're not looking to work with everyone and anyone, you're trying to find those people who most resonate with the value you bring. And that's how most really great businesses work. They don't try to capture huge market share. They capture more of a profit share than a market share. And instead of doing everything for everyone, which then spreads you too thin, and then doesn't give anyone sort of something to connect with, you start to sort of run out of steam. As you said, you're doing, you know, maybe you're doing four or five different things. You're spreading far too wide. I like to say, I heard this somewhere years ago, is that most businesses don't die or struggle from starvation. They do it from indigestion. They do too many things.
I see what you're saying there, because yes, it's true that we do too many things. And then, you know, we just don't know where to go after that because we're just in the stump of like, how can I take care of everything else? Now with the small business, how can we overcome the challenges of, I want to hire somebody, but I don't have the money. Like, what can they do at this point? Because, you know, if you're just a one person show, but you need the extra help, but how can you, do you feel like you have to struggle financially just to have another person help you, or what can they do at this
point? Well, it is a risk, right? When you add more to payroll, that's usually your most expensive part of a business when you have employees is payroll. And, you know, I'm in a couple of different coaching organizations. There are many of us that are just, you know, that work for ourselves and don't have anyone helping. And then there are some that sort of add layers. Generally, I think the ones that do the best find people that can help take more of the mundane stuff away from them on a day-to-day basis. Typically, it's a part-time thing. Now you can do a virtual sort of assistant, that type of thing. So you now have more time and energy to go and grow the business. So if at some point you need to add someone that is complimenting you or adding to what you're doing, or just taking more stuff away, you don't have to start and hire someone, you know, really expensive. Your first job is to, as I said, fire yourself from the day-to-day as much as possible. So there's so many things that you have to do running a small business, just besides delivering whatever it is you're delivering. You know, you have to bill your clients, you have to go get new clients, you have to, you know, go on podcasts and do whatever it is to promote your business. You can have people help you to do those things, set those things up for you, make it so it's easier and less time for you, so you can focus on the higher value stuff, which then of course gives you more time to add revenue, so you can start paying someone else as your business grows, if you'd like to.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. And getting into the bigger side of business here, because I've noticed you talk about a lot, leadership, something that is a challenge in the big business world and corporate America.
That's what they say, right? If you really you read a lot of these books and you hear about these folks that, you know, that one of the biggest failings of most businesses is leadership. And I think that's because we don't really understand what leadership is. We sometimes mix it up with authority or being in charge, which isn't necessarily being a leader. I have what has come to be a bit of a, I found a unique perspective on leadership. I don't actually think leadership is a real thing, meaning something that you can replicate, right? If you, these are the five steps to become a leader and anyone can follow them. Because if you look at really great leaders out there, they come at it in different ways. You know, some are, you know, some use their humility, have great charisma, some are technical experts, you know, some do it through brute force. There's lots of different ways if you see successful leaders out there, like, you know, Steve Jobs is a different, you know, who you know, used to run Apple, is really a different kind of leader than Alan Mulally, who ran Ford and Boeing, or Warren Buffett, who does Berkshire Hathaway and one of the most successful investors in the world. They all have different aspects to it. I think the thing that is common amongst all of them is somehow through their vision, their personality, a combination of things, they get people to follow them. They get people to believe what they believe. And that's what I think really great leaders do. And then they give them the opportunity to help them, right? As I like to say that leaders, that the only two things that I've found in common with leaders is they've had some sort of vision about what they want to do, how they want to make a difference in the world. And they had the courage to follow it, because usually leaders are doing something that's a little bit different than someone else. So they're going to get a lot of naysayers, because we don't like new things right out of the box. And we always say that isn't going to work, but they have the courage to make it work. And they have the courage to give up you know, as a business grows, they have the courage to stop doing everything, right? And giving the ability for others. You know, they give them the direction, they give them sort of the guidelines of what to do, and they hire people who are better at them than that thing, or better than at marketing, or better than at sales, or better than at engineering, whatever it might be. And then they just sort of give them the guidelines and let them go, you know, and then if they make a mistake, you know, they help bring them back in and correct it. But they give them the opportunity to make those mistakes so they can learn and grow.
For sure. And why do you find effective leadership important to you?
I've been a leader and I work with leaders. You know, it's a much nicer place to be when you have a great leader, someone who's humble, someone who's always learning, someone who has is vulnerable. They realize they're a human being and they show their humanness on a regular basis. It just sort of helps everyone else to relax. It's just a nicer place to be than if you have someone who thinks they have to have all the answers. They're constantly telling you what to do. They create this thing called learned helplessness. And you feel less autonomous and less empowered by someone who isn't a good leader, but who's good at authority and good at telling you what to do. So I think it just creates a better environment for everyone. It's just a nicer place to be. And, you know, most of our adulthood is spent at work or doing something related to work or thinking about work. Even if you're not at work, you know, in your home, sometimes you're thinking about it. So having that place be more inviting, safer, is, I think, a better opportunity for everyone else, if you have a, you know, great leaders that are making that happen.
For sure. And I can say in my past, there's been only a few that were great leaders. And when I became a leader of a team of people, I had to like learn from, how do I explain this? I had to utilize those experiences from those leaders and make it better for myself, for my team. And it was nice because you're appreciative when you are making a happy work environment. You're making it fair for everybody. You're giving them opportunities to grow. You're helping them develop. And I feel like it's very important for people to recognize their past experiences and make it better for their own team.
Yeah, agreed. And I'm sure the people that you were responsible for and were helping to do their jobs better and to contribute to the organization in a better way, we're very appreciative of that as well. Because you're right, it is often too rare that that we have sort of a dearth of good leaders. And we see that in the statistics that go out on a regular basis. And most people are not engaged at work. You know, Gallup does a survey at least once a year, if not more often, about engagement at work. And, you know, it's a very small percentage. You know, 25, 30% are actually engaged at work. That means 65 or so percent of people are not. Or they're actively disengaged at work is another sad statistic, which means that they're actively working against the company, which is even worse. So you're trying to move forward and you've got a small contingency of people who are actually trying to pull you backward. So when you create that environment that you did, I'm sure helped add some velocity to your team and hopefully to the overall business as well.
Yeah, it was really nice to have, you know, my employees come up to me and be like, wow, you know, things have shifted when you came in and took control of half of the work environment. And it made me feel good because, again, I had to kind of use the experiences that I've had from previous leaders that I kind of just questioned myself, like, how are you doing this? Like, how could this possibly be? Like, how hard is this job? The job is hard, but like controlling people, it's like, you gotta get to know them. You have to, I remember the first time I like was able to take control. I was able to sit down with everybody and ask them, okay, what's your goals? What do you want to develop in? What are you in school for? I know this job may not be forever, but how can I help you develop those goals that pertain to you, the career that you want to get into? What do you like to do for fun? I feel like basic questions that people just, I feel like they need to ask to get to know their employees to make them feel better. Like you mentioning those numbers of engagement at the workplace, it reminds me when I've had a headhunter come on the show a couple of years ago telling us from his community of people that he's developed, they said that 87% hated their job. You know, these numbers and stuff. It's like, why is that happening more and more? And even people around me, when I ask, they're like, you know, this job, I'm here for the money. This job is paying the bills. This job is just, you know, I've been in it and I don't want to leave because I'm just too comfortable. So it really hurts me to hear that, but it's just little things I find like I want to implement in different leaders in my past and say, get to know your staff, appreciate them. Because when you don't appreciate them, then it's like, what are they there for? You know, they become miserable. They don't want to go to work. Like, hear the statistics. It's really sad what I've been hearing in the past couple of years.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, getting to know your staff is really important, but also getting to understand what contribution your team makes to the overall business and understanding the different functions that are involved in making that happen. Because you mentioned something really important is, you know, I don't want to, this issue is not completely an issue of leaders. It's also of the team member, right? Is if you're, you know, often what we do is we leave school with debt, or, you know, we get into a position where we don't really like the job, but we like the money, and we work for the money. And eventually that gets old. But we get stuck, right? Because you don't, you know, it's like, well, I don't want to give up the money, or I can get a promotion, but you're moving towards a place that is less and less satisfying to you. So I think it's definitely a balance between the leader and the team member to try to figure out, you know, what do they love to do? What really gets them up in the morning? What, when they're doing it, has time pass without even noticing that it's passing, right? When an hour feels like 5 minutes. And for the leader and the team member to figure that out and then try to get them to do those things as often as possible. You're never going to be able to enjoy every single minute of every single day of a job that you do. But the more that you can do something that you love, and there's some statistics out there that say all you need to do is to have it be 20% of your day or your week to look forward to something that you love doing, you're much more satisfied at work and you're much more fulfilled at work. So, you know, those sometimes we need a leader because a leader can notice things that we do that we just do naturally. And to us doesn't feel like magic, but to other people, it does feel like magic. But it's also you as a team member to come and say, you know, this is what really fills me up. This was great fun. I want to do that again. And for the leader to try to find ways to do that for them, but also in service of the team, which then of course contributes to the company. So it's this sort of balancing act that I think that's one of the hardest things to be as a leader. You said one word, which, you know, I'm sure it was just something that came out, but you don't really control people, right? You give them an opportunity to thrive. People don't like to be controlled or feel like they're controlled. That's when they definitely get dissatisfied. But if you can create the environment so they're intrinsically motivated to do things, then that's where you can have your life feel better and more fulfilled, like you said, and have their lives feel the same way as well.
For sure. I definitely agree with you. And I feel like nowadays, again, like, you know, the more people I talk to is just like, oh my gosh, what to do? Like, I hate my job. But you know, this is the world we live in. And a lot of us are able to create that change and move somewhere else and find something that they're passionate about. But it's funny because I had this conversation with a group of people that I just met, like we were just networking, and they were telling me how their past experiences of corporate America, like, you know, oh my gosh, like, you know, I hated that job. I just hated it. It's crazy. But they're like, you know what? I left the job. I feel great. I feel fantastic. I'm doing my own thing. You know, I'm a sole entrepreneur and I'm happy. And yeah, I would never go back, but it's always the same thing. Every time I go somewhere or meet with a team of people or networking, it always brings back to the past. Like, thank goodness I left. This is what happened in the workplace. I cannot believe it, but I left.
Yeah, sometimes as long as you're running towards something as opposed to away, it works. And there's also some research. Marcus Buckingham does a ton of research on fulfillment of the job, etc. And his research points to the fact that when people really enjoy what they work, they very often craft their own job within the organization. They work with their leader or leaders to find a job that they make for themselves, but also, you know, adds value to the organization. So you can do it two ways. You can move away from it, or you can sort of find things that you love within within your role or within the organization, within the team, and just try to do more of that new Boston.
For sure. Now you've got best-selling book. You've got about three of them, which is Further Faster, The Vital Few Steps That Take the Guesswork Out of the Growth. Sorry, so you have two books. My apologies. Explain to me what the two books are.
Yeah, so one of them is mine. And it has my name on it. And I actually hired a team of people to help me write it because I don't really like writing. It's back to those things that you don't like to do. Mm-hmm. So I basically spoke my book to someone else who then was a much better writer than I am. And she turned it into that, which I edited. So it was in my voice, et cetera. And that's my book. That's the Further Faster book. And then I also contributed to another book called The Freedom of Constraints, where I was one of like 20 some odd people who contributed a chapter to that. So the one that I really focus a lot on is Further Faster, which is basically this thing I mentioned at the beginning is this, it's a snapshot of this framework that I teach people on how to build a healthy and thriving organization. And it, you know, you take, it's the vital few steps to take the guesswork out of growth. And vital few step, the law of the vital few is more familiarly known as the 80-20 rule or the Pareto principle. They're all mean the same thing, which is that most of the results are due to a small amount of the effort. So 20% of the effort produces 80% of the results. And that formula is very pervasive. So you might have 100 friends, but you probably spend much more time with 20 or so of them than you do with the other 80. You probably have a bunch of clothes in your closet and you probably wear the same, you know, 20% of the clothes much more often than the 80%. And that works to all sorts of things around food or other things. It's an amazing, if you look at it, it's amazing viewpoint on many things in most people's lives. And that's what I did with the book. I said, you know, there's so many exercises and things you can look at in a business, but from my research over the last 30 years and really intensely in the last five or six, these are the three things that I think are the most important. And that's what I put in the book. And it's a do-it-yourself book. There's exercises that go along with it on my website. And as you said, you can actually download my book from my website for free if you want to do a PDF, or it's on Amazon or Audible and other places. And those three things that I talk about are team. Team is a performance is a team sport. And as a leader, I'm sure you realize this as well as a leader, is that not one person gets something done. It's usually multiple people need to contribute to get something of impact done. The next is your department or your business itself is just a big system. If you look at an organization in general, that system revolves around two main things, which are strategy and execution. I talk a lot about that, how strategy really is the thing that you're executing on and how to create a winning strategy and execute with excellence on it. And then lastly is cash. And if you're going to want to build a growing business that continues to grow and hopefully dominates your particular part of the world, cash has to be your primary financial metric, right? You need cash to grow, and you generally need to spend in front of growth. So if you build a model that helps you to raise the cash that you need, either through your customers or through other means, then that is the metric that is most relied upon. Revenue, you know, doesn't necessarily drive cash. Some people have revenue and they almost break even all the time. Profit is something that derives cash, but sometimes profit can be managed and made up. You know, you pay yourself less, so you do certain things, you move money around, you can sort of make up profit. But cash is the only thing in your profit and loss and balance sheet that won't lie to you. So that's why I do those three things. Team, you build a system that is repeatable and scalable for your business around strategy and execution, and then use cash as your primary financial metric. That's the book.
Perfect. Well, you know, there's a lot that you are providing, especially for, I feel like it's relatable to anybody in a leadership role, in a small business, in a big business. It could also be helpful as for yourself. You may learn that you have leadership qualities and you can use that towards pretty much anything.
Sure. I mean, I think, you know, a leader is someone who, sort of says, hey, I think that we could do this a better way. Knows that their job is to help support the people around them. And you don't necessarily have to have a title to be a leader. If you just sort of try something new, do something different, have a vision for something in your department or your organization that you think can improve and you work on that, and people be like, hey, you know, This is something I want to be able to support. And there are some businesses that grow their organizations around that, right? And you can, if someone has a great idea, you can decide to work with them on that particular project. Most of this works around, you know, entrepreneurs and people who are trying to make a better world for themselves or their loved ones. It usually revolves around a struggle or some progress they're trying to make. But it can be anywhere, right? It's, if you just have someone who follows you in some way, then you're a leader. Someone who says, yeah, you know, hey, Angelica, I want to help you make that podcast a better thing, and make it so it's really making people's lives better. Then you've created a follower. As soon as you've created a follower, then you're a leader.
I agree. I definitely agree. Well, Bill, thank you so much for your time and your knowledge and sharing what you do. This has been fantastic.
Well, great. Thanks for having me on, Angelica. It was a pleasure.
Well, Bill, where can the listeners find you?
So the best place to find me is on my website. There's lots of stuff that you can, as I said, you can download the book. I do a blog post a couple times a month, and there are about 150 or so on my website over the last number of years. There's my contact info, et cetera, and on there. You can reach me as well if you want to learn more about what I offer to my clients. You can do that on my website as well, and that is catalystgrowthadvisors.com.
Perfect. Well, to all my listeners out there, Bill's information is going to be in the show notes for you. Thank you so much, Bill, for all your time. And that's all we have for now.
Great. Take care.
I'm Anthony.
And I'm Jessica with the Beautiful Feet Podcast.
Hey, it's your boy, Bromar, host of The Bromar Show.
Hello, everyone. It's the Coupon Queenpin from the CQP Moments Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is your boy, Ken, a.k.a. The Gentleman of The Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast.
Hi, this is Stephanie Valente, your local massage therapist.
And you're listening to a little bit of everything
with Angelica. Angelica.
That's it for now, and thank you for tuning in on another episode of A Little Bit of Everything with me,